I'm originally from Tanzania, which is in East Africa. I was born there and raised, but we migrated here with my family as a child. And I come from a blended family, so I've got lots of brothers and sisters, but we came here in the early 90s.
As a child?
As a child, that's right. I was 13 when I came here and started.
A fluent Swahili speaker?
I was a fluent Swahili speaker, yeah, and not so fluent English speaker, so still working on the English there, but...
Right.
Wow.
What can you do? I'm just going to laugh, yeah. We won't mention anything about our Swahili.
Swahili.
And you coordinate the Karibu program.
That's
so
right.
Tell us about that process and about the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm involved with the Karibu Swahili program, which is a program that goes out to the Swahili-speaking community here in Adelaide and really in Australia, because it's a unique program for the country, and we're very lucky to have it here at Radio Adelaide.
Is it really the only...
Community-based, yeah, it is. SBS do Swahili, but that's at the national level, and it doesn't have that sort of grassroots, we feel, vibe that our Karibu program does. So it's been running here for about 10 years, probably 12 now, and it's very much loved by the people who listen to it.
The show is all in Swahili, isn't it?
Yes. It's all in Swahili.
Which I think you would call Kiswahili if you were speaking Swahili, is that right?
That's correct. So the language itself is Kiswahili, yeah. The Swahili is more of the English version, I guess, yeah. It's Kiswahili language.
Yeah, we just took over that word and changed it. What is the current situation for the Kiswahili language in Adelaide and around the world?
Yeah, look, it's actually probably a very exciting time to be a Kiswahili speaker, because in Africa or in the world, it's one of the fastest growing languages. It's also spoken at the African Union, so that's very... revolutionary in a sense, because...
So sort of the lingua franca for the African continent.
It's essentially currently predominantly on the eastern side, but it's broader than that. And the African Union, for example, only has really, it's been to this date, European languages or Arabic as the main sort of official languages. So Swahili is the only African language that's there, and the UN have picked it up as well. And here in Adelaide, you've got lots of Swahili speakers. You know, we've got a refugee community here. And most of those who are here from our part of Africa, be it the Sudan, be it Burundi, Congo, Rwanda, most of them have had some sort of contact with Swahili or are Swahili speakers from their refugee experience. So we've got them as our audience, I guess, and people like myself and professionals who come from Kenya, for example.
So it's that sort of central and eastern area of Africa which is Swahili speaking.
That's correct. So it's southern of Somalia, Kenya, Uganda, Burundi, Rwanda, Congo. They have a dialect there as well. If you speak to a Congolese person, they'll say they're the ones who speak true Swahili, but we say it's a dialect. And Malawi, northern, Mozambique, northern, and Zambia. So it's quite broad. I think they say it's about 100 million people speak it in Africa, yeah.
And is it spoken in South Africa? Or in...
Not in South Africa, but they teach it at their universities, because they've been recruiting people from Tanzania to go and resource those positions at their unis. That was just a new announcement last year.
So it's a development there.
I just want to go back to that 100 million people speaking Swahili. That's extraordinary. When you say things like that to people in Adelaide or in Australia, what do you find is their understanding of the language and how prevalent it actually is?
I think it will be limited. We do, of course, know people know of the Lion King, so there was Swahili there, Hakuna Matata, and that's pretty much it. I'm sure some people probably think it's a made-up language from that movie, but it's actually a Swahili word for no worries. But no, it's not widely known. So it's a great thing for us to be able to have the opportunity to have our own program on this station. Yeah, it's good.
Kelebi, did you see the movie Black Panther? And
yes.
What are your thoughts about that movie?
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. I've never seen a movie, apart from when you're in Tanzania, all the actors are, you know, black Africans. I've never seen such a movie in a Western context, so it was a revolutionary, really. And the fact that it's been so successful, I think, is amazing. I hear from reading online, Saudi Arabia have actually allowed it to feature there, and it's the first time they've allowed movies or something.
Yeah, their first cinema was the first movie they played.
Yeah,
wasn't
that's
it?
Right. Yeah. So I, and it has, you know, coming from a developing country in Tanzania, online forums use it to, I guess, express sentiments in a coded manner about some of the regimes in the region as well. So it's actually proven to be popular in terms of voicing concerns, given that, I don't know if people have seen it, you'd have seen it, the power struggle in that movie.
Yeah, it raises some pretty important questions, doesn't it? That thing about whether you try to keep up with the West and join in, or whether you hold on to your own culture. You mentioned that in Tanzania you would be seeing African actors, black African actors. Is there a good movie industry in Tanzania, in Africa generally?
Yeah, look, it's, again, an exciting time for that, given the technological advances. There's a thing called Bongo Movie. You know, you've got Hollywood, we've got Bongo Movie, which is Swahili movies. They used to be really terrible, you know, bad audio, bad acting, but they've actually got to be very good. And you've got Nollywood. I don't know if you're aware of Nollywood, which is the Nigerian film industry. I think it's the most prolific in the world. They've produced lots of movies. So we've, our side of the eastern side has copied Nollywood and come out with this Bongowood and Bongo Movie. And yeah, so that's proving to be very successful, because I think for the first time, maybe in a generation, you've got people affording TVs, you know, given their prices gone down and maybe incomes have come up a bit. So they're live on local TVs, but not going to the movies and sitting down in the cinema and stuff.
How do the dance routines compare with Bollywood?
they don't tend to... They tend to have more theatrical scenes. Yeah, the dancing... But actually, there are some which play, like... you have village dances and stuff like that, but they're not as well choreographed and dramatic as the Bollywood.
Now, you are taking your passion to full Swahili, to new levels, aren't you? You're writing children's books, which, of course, is the great way to develop or strengthen a language. Tell us more about your counting books.
Yes, so I have recently become a father to two beautiful daughters and more recently a son. And so I'm married to an Australian girl, and being in a cross-cultural marriage, we found that the resources for Swahili were very limited and expensive, and the quality actually quite poor. And inappropriate in terms of context. So you can get really good Swahili books for Swahili speakers, but not for kids who might be cross-cultural, as the children will be. So I thought, you know, give it a go, write a children's book. So I've got a very simple counting book. It's called I Can Count in Swahili, and it just introduces fun Swahili words that I loved as a kid to someone who might not have heard them. Words like piki piki, which means motorbike, pipi, which means lolly, kono kono, which means snail, and then just marrying them with numbers to try and reinforce that, the counting. Yeah, and it's on Amazon.
And you've got T-shirts to promote it.
Yeah, it's a self-funded love project, so it's cost me about $500. So if I sell 250 books or T-shirts, that means I will break even and the world will be much better off.
Tell us where we could find them.
Yeah, so I've actually got a website which is called bababata.com, which is bababata.com, where I've housed the information about the books and other projects that might come from this if we break even. So if people can visit bababata.com, they'll find information about the book there, or you can Google I Can Count in Swahili at Amazon, and that should come up there. Yeah.
And Baba Bata is a duck on a mission,
That's correct. Yes, it is a duck on a mission seeking to make Swahili accessible to people, not only from a cultural perspective, but people who might be interested in the language.
Baba Bata is the name of the duck?
Yes.
And is that his mission or her mission?
Yes, it is. Yeah.